From an internet fraught with danger, two heroes brave the void to bring you the Digital and Dice Podcast.
This is the Digital and Dice Podcast for Monday, January 28th, 2019, and show number 173 is go. I am your host, Mark Boutet.
I'm Insert Brian here.
And welcome to another illustrious 2019 episode of the Digital and Dice Podcast.
Illustrious? Are we illustrious now?
I would like to think so. You know, dress for the job you want, not the job you have. I see what you're wearing. I mean...
I guess I'm dressed as a comic book nerd.
I mean, and if that's the job you want, more power to you.
Yeah.
But yes, we are back here once again this week to discuss all those wonderful things that you like to hear us discuss. Except for this one is kind of a little bit of a wrap up from what happened this last weekend. We'll get to that here in the main topic. But as of right now, you know, there's been some other things we've been dealing with. So, Brian, what have you been up to?
Well, you're not going to be terribly surprised by this, but I have been playing some Skyrim.
Really?
Really? I finally went and downloaded the Beyond Skyrim Bruma mod. And I have to say, holy shit, that is made by people who are volunteers. It is far less buggy than anything I have seen Bethesda actually release themselves. It is super impressive. Absolutely gorgeous design.
And all this after having said, like, oh, you know, I'm not always going to be playing Skyrim. There are other games. I also,
on occasion, play Minecraft still. Not to mention all the games that I purchase, but then never play because I am playing Skyrim.
And Minecraft.
And Minecraft.
That is entirely fair. I mean, if I had to say, like, my Steam library is chock full of games that I'll never play or have not played or maybe played a few minutes of, but I want to get back to, but then I find, you know, a bunch of other stuff to do because I have one job, you know.
I have so many games to play, but all of them take time, and I just need to be able to split my experiences up into a dozen different people so that I can actually catch up on my Steam library.
Yeah. That is entirely fair.
Slash also play a lot more Overwatch.
Okay. Also, for those of you who are watching us live, there might be an issue with the chat box isn't showing up. We actually had this issue last time, and I don't think I was able to fix it in the interim. We might just have to remove it and add it again.
He was like, I'm totally going to fix this.
Yeah.
Never fixed it.
So for those of you watching, you know, we'll get that fixed. It'll be worked on over there by the wonderful people who are helping us out here behind the scenes.
By the Digital and Dice crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, guys. You're awesome. So I've been, oh, man, I've been kind of busy with some things. Like, well, first off, I was busy with a very important show that I went to over the weekend, which we'll get to in the main topic. So I won't discuss it too much at this point, but I have at this point, but I have also been dealing with things like, for example, the Warhammer 40K narrative campaign that I got coming up here at the start of November, February,
painting models.
Yeah. My painting table is over here off camera, and I've been having a lot of fun building some stuff up, doing some customization. And as a matter of fact,
Silly Imperial Kenigit.
Yes, absolutely. Also, for you behind the scenes over there, it's chat box. It's on the third column on the 1, 2, 3, and it should be there down there. There you go. So we did a painting stream fairly recently where we just kind of hung out and we put some cameras up and voiceover Brian here, myself, your significant other Dammit, and the lady Crass and I all kind of sat down and just worked on some models, chatted for a while. It was supposed to be about an hour and a half stream, but
ended up being three hours.
So that was fun. I had a lot of fun with that.
We're good at holding to our schedules.
Yeah. So that is something where We are planning on doing some more of those. We have more models to do. Also, as Six Up Save becomes more of a thing, and as we kind of do some cool stuff with that, I'm hoping to make it that much better. I want to add some more to that, have some cool discussions with those of you who show up in the chat.
Also some Mutterfucking battles!
Yes, also some battle reports are going to be a good one, because we have this wonderful table here, we have plenty of space. We're still working out some of the logistics, but the other part of that, of course, is going to be possibly doing some interviews with some other Warhammer creators. So Six Up Save is going to kind of encompass everything we're doing miniature and wargaming wise. So kind of keep an eye out for that, for all the different cool stuff that we're going to do there.
It'll be on top of our tabletop tops.
The top of our tabletops, yes.
So that stay on top of what we're bringing out.
Yeah, and honestly, we would have been painting for that whole time, even if we weren't streaming. So not too much out of our normal routine.
True story, bro.
I think, on the other hand, I think I would have had a 3D print going in the background if we weren't recording, because that thing can get a little bit loud.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we've been up to. It's been pretty cool. A lot of fun. Yeah. But
yeah. About time we get to our main topic, which goes a little bit like this.
This week's topic is the PodCon 2 wrap-up. So what I want to talk about today is this really great event that the one called Justin and I attended in Seattle the 19th and 20th of January.
So pretend that someone had to be taking a significant other into a hospital for most of the weekend.
Yeah.
What actually is PodCon 2?
PodCon 2, it was the second, if you could believe it, iteration of a convention put together by a couple fairly large podcast creators like Joseph Fink from Welcome to Night Vale, a couple of the McElroy brothers. They wanted to have a convention sort of like the PodCon that they have over in the UK. They wanted to base it here in Seattle, get a bunch of different podcasters together, do some live shows, have some workshops and panels with well-known people, and allow fans and creators alike to come together and share in this really cool hobby that, you know, we're all a part of.
Okay, cool. So you went to like panels talking about stuff or?
Yeah. So just to give people kind of a rundown of what we ended up doing. First off, like the day right before the convention, I found a Facebook group that was like a PodCon 2 attendees Facebook group. And I joined up with it and I was like, hey, and I found there were people coming from all over. Like there were people posting about like, okay, on the plane from Fort Lauderdale on my way and training up from California, the people all over the country showing up, and some people from Canada. And it was pretty big.
Oh yeah. Your PodCon friends from Canada. Because they totally exist.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, people all over the place were showing up, and I was like, "Oh, this is really cool. I'm really glad to see that not only are there creators in this chat, but a bunch of fans too. They're like, hey, we're really excited to see, you know, this creator, that creator, this audio drama, what have you." Although I will admit, the McElroys were probably the biggest drive for like a huge amount of people showing up. I guess, according to some of the numbers, it was three times the size that it was last year.
Damn!
So it was, you know, a decently sized event. Now, when you think about it in the way of, like, other conventions, say, like, SakuraCon or Emerald City Comic Con, much smaller. We're talking, like, 3,000 people.
Okay.
So taking up, you know, a large convention area and just kind of, like, you're putting all these people in there. Like, most everyone who attended the con could fit into the big auditorium while a big show was going on without there having to be standing room. So not huge, but it, because it was that small, it meant that there were a lot of times it felt more, you know, intimate and laid back.
Sort of just spooning up to your favorite horror con, your horror mod.
Kind of, yeah. The great thing was that even though there were these giant creators, you know, they were kind of walking around too. They were checking stuff out. You know, several of the people I got to meet and run into were just hanging out, like walking back and forth through some of the common areas, which is where I was able to kind of just be like, hey, you got a moment? I'd like to chat. So instead of them like flanked by guards everywhere they went, which is what you would normally see with guests at, say, larger conventions where getting mobbed is actually a very dangerous thing.
So what you're saying is it was a lot more like a professional convention than it was an actual fan convention.
Yeah, I would say that that is a much better description for it. There were more fans there than I was expecting to see.
Without the awkward coworker hookup that happens at professional conventions.
I would assume.
Maybe. You and the one called Justin just spooning a little. Just being like all cuddling together, getting your beards tangled up.
No, we had separate beds. It was great. So we ended up going to dinner with this Facebook group the night right before the con, and got to meet a bunch of really cool people. I mean, the guy sitting next to me is the guy who created Dungeons and Drag Queens, which is a really awesome, not only podcast, but they do live shows as well, where they get, famous drag queens onto the show to play D&D with them. And they'll do like the live stage shows where they'll have like audience interaction. And some of these people have never played D&D before, so they're kind of just getting into it. And everything's themed in that kind of like inclusive but comedy oriented style game.
That's fun.
So decently not only popular but well done and self-sufficient place. You know, the guy, his job was basically making sure this thing happened and was continuing to happen. So, as they have like created this cool thing, they're kind of living that dream of this is their job as well.
That's cool. I am jelly.
Yeah. So we got to sit next to them. On the other hand, the people directly on my right were just fans. Like they had come from, I think it was North Carolina, and they were there because they're huge McElroy fans and they wanted to be involved with the Mabim Bam show. And I don't remember if they did an Adventure Zone thing, but they had a live Mabim Bam show, which and that's my brother and me, by the way, for those of you who don't get that particular acronym.
Mabim Bam.
Yeah. There's a question in the chat from Ace Scullington, says, what was your favorite person to meet? So this was on the first day of the con. So this was Saturday. I had met up with a couple of the guys who we'd gone to dinner with the prior night. We're standing in the kind of registration area. And like I had just gotten my wristband, and I'll get to the wristband thing in a minute. Trust me.
The wristband thing.
Oh, God. No con badges.
Is this like the jockstrap incident?
We don't speak of that. Briefly, instead of having con badges that you could take off and on, they put a bracelet on you, like, a little snap-on bracelet. And if you lost it, you can't get back in. No replacements. And so you can't take it off because then you destroy the thing that they clip on. So you basically have this bracelet on for the whole weekend, which, if you have to do things like shower or, take your clothes on and off, it can be problematic to have this little bracelet thing sitting on your arm. So it was a huge pain in the ass.
The organizers just assumed because you have a podcast that you probably don't bathe.
I don't know. I think it was more to do with the fact that, a ticket to the convention versus the cost of actually going and seeing like a McElroy show. They didn't want people just handing a badge off to someone on the street or trying to resell it. So it was like once it was off of you, it was worthless. So there was, they wanted to make sure that the people who registered and got their, got their bracelet were the same people attending the show.
Okay.
Whether you hated it or loved it, it was a thing that exists. I just got my bracelet and I was chatting with these guys and some guy walks up and starts asking us some questions. He was a journalist for Business Weekly.
Okay.
And so he starts asking us some questions and funny story, he actually asked the same question. He asked, who are you here to meet? Personality wise, who are you looking for? And I was like, well, one of the people I'm really excited to meet is David Cummings, the narrator and co-creator of the No Sleep podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, and for various reasons. One, I respect a lot of what he does, and the fact that the SGO Files, the other one of the shows we do, is based off of
the fact that he doesn't hate us, even though we take
some of the brilliant content that they put out, and I mean with permissions and and they're cool with it. They like it sometimes.
It's
amazing.
So I was telling him this, and as we were talking about other things, I look over, and lo and behold, David Cummings is just walking down the way, and I'm like, you know what? Hold on, hold that thought. And I walk over. I'm like, hi, and I introduce myself. And at the time, Justin hadn't made it over yet. He was doing something at the hotel, and I was like, hey, you know, the one called Justin is looking for you specifically because they're actually working together on a couple audio dramas, Calling Darkness, which is coming out here relatively soon. I believe one or two others. And Justin was looking for him specifically to talk about that. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to catch up with you later. Introduce da 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 da. Justin's looking for you. Cool. And he's like, awesome. That'll be great. And I went back to the other guy and was like, yep, that was him. And he's like, oh, cool. Con's done, I guess. So that was really cool. Just meeting David Cummings. And funny story, we ended up bumping into him a bunch during the 2 days.
Oh.
To the point where Justin was like, oh, God, he's going to think we're stalking him.
Well, I mean, were you?
No.
You didn't follow him to his hotel room, spy on him through the window.
Not this time.
Breathing heavily. So heavily.
There might have been heavy breathing. So that was like, you know, right off the bat on the first day. Then there was opening ceremonies and, you know, Joseph Fink and the McElroys were up there. And it was interesting because the show floor itself, for those of you who have been to the Washington State Convention Center, know that usually where they have like Artist Alley or one of the, you know, where like the smaller booths will go rather than say like the giant merch booths, is right next to where they put Main Stage. And it's this fairly massive room, right? Like you go in through the doors and then it goes back and then it goes off to the left.
Oh, yeah. It is an enormous room.
Yeah. So the con, all of the booths were in like the first third of the room. There were huge open swaths of nothing between the end of the booths and like the cafe at the far end of the room.
So you're telling us that they've got a lot of room to grow. It's really,
there was so much room. We were looking at it like, man, they could have put twice or three times the amount of booths in here and been fine for space. Also, there was like 20 feet between booths rather than like the normal cramped walkway that you get at most conventions.
Are you saying next time we should booth?
That's actually something on our list. We were talking about that. And I guess Nissan was there. There was a car parked like pretty much dead center. Yeah, I don't know. It was probably just a big corporation who was like, hey, there's a convention. We'll buy a spot.
We'll buy a spot. It's like advertisements.
Yeah,
sort of.
They could have fit six other creators in the spot that Nissan took up with a tent and a car. You know, so again, not necessarily what I would have done if I was the con host, but honestly, if Nissan was paying the money, I can see why they might have done it. But the great thing was that all these other booths had like independent podcasts in them. You know, there was one like merch booth that had like, it was DFTBA, which is one of the companies that I guess the McElroys had helped start. It's like clothing and gear and swag and whatever. And so they were telling t-shirts there, but all the other things were like Mars Fall, the White Vault. There were, and I have the stack. I'm actually going to get to that here before the end of the main topic here to just shout out a bunch of the people I got cards for. But like they all had their own individual booth, and the podcast creators were sitting behind them just like super thrilled to talk to anybody. Like, hey, do you like the show? Hey, do you listen? Oh, you don't yet? Here, here's some promo material. Here's a good place to start.
It was a convention of, let me tell you about my podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's sort of like when you actually find a conversation where people are like, well, tell me about your Dungeons & Dragons character.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you're in for a fucking treat. You know, exactly, though, is everywhere you went, people were enthusiastic about their shows. They're like, oh, man, yeah, this is a thing that I do. And this is a really cool aspect of it. And this is how we're different than everybody else when we're creating. And, you know, the creativity of a lot of these different shows, it really, you know, really showed that these people were interested and, you know, they were involved and they all had really cool ideas for what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a group who makes five podcasts at this point, it's something where...
Is it so many?
It is. If you include Six Up Save, as we're just starting it, yeah, we are absolutely
five. What is wrong with us?
Right. So as a group, though, I mean, we would go and talk to people and be like, hey, tell me about your show. I want to hear about what you got going on. And they would go on their spiel, and then they would see that I'm wearing like a show logo, because like the first day I had the Digital and Dice podcast, the brand new logo you can find on redbubble.com. But you and
it,
you
looks know, have, like this.
We have some stickers and stuff left over. But they would see me and they're like, oh, do you have a show? I'm like, yeah, we have a couple. And they'd be like, tell me about them. I'm like, okay. And I would give them the lowdown.
Buckle up, buttercup.
And as I did so, I would hand them a sticker of the show because, you know, we had SGO, we had Hazardous Endeavors, and, you know, Justin would be there talking about Calling Darkness and Hooks of Horror. So we went basically from like booth to booth having kind of that spiel of, we want to hear about your stuff. And then we'll tell you about ours if you ask. So we're not just like walking over going, oh, you do a show, so do we here, you know, because it kind of felt a little bit like that. But we didn't want to be like assholes about it the whole time.
The great sticker exchange.
Yeah. And I have this pile of stickers here that I'm going to go through that is basically, here, have a sticker. Oh, you want a sticker? I have stickers here. Let's exchange the show stickers.
So it's like Japanese businessmen where they present their cards to each other, only because it's podcasts, it's probably a sticker.
Yeah. And there were some creators who were doing more shtick stuff like costumes or things from their shows, or wandering the floor doing something, you know, unique. But the whole like day basically was walking around talking with creators. They actually had a booth set up with audio equipment that you could record a live podcast there. You like sign up for a time slot, sit down for a half an hour and record a show. And another question here in the chat, were there any interesting panels? So, panels. There were a decent number of panel rooms, but because of the size of the show and what was going on in the and what we were there for, we didn't go to a whole lot of them. And that kind of was the like the two panels we ended up going to. One of them we ended up kind of going for about half of it, and we're like, okay, cool, we got the information we needed. And that was the Griffin McElroy was editing an episode of My Brother and Me, and he was showing how he used the tools to do so, and he was using Audacity for it. And he's like, hey, you know, it's a free program. We've been using this program for like 10 years. It's, you know, and we make a bunch of our podcasts with it. Like, he's used Sony Vegas, he's used Audition, and he just keeps going back to Audacity
because it's die in your sleep.
Sure, yeah. You know, and for a show that large to basically be like, yeah, here's a free program. This is what we use to make our stuff. It proves that you don't have to spend a bunch of money to make a show. You know, you don't have to sink a bunch of stuff into equipment and programs to be able to make something that can do well. So that was really cool.
You don't,
I say, talking into the mics we have and the soundboard and the programs, you know. That was actually a point that I had talked to several creators about, was how much, you know, audio equipment people have invested in. And when that came around, it was usually like, look at the time.
Oh, is that so?
Right. The other panel we ended up going to that was a lot of fun was there was a voice acting panel.
Okay.
And that was there were three people I didn't recognize from audio dramas because I'm not a giant audio drama fan, but apparently three fairly well-known audio drama voice actors, and then David Cummings and Cecil Baldwin from Welcome to Nightmare.
Well, I mean, that's pretty big name there.
Right. And so they were up there fielding questions from the audience, talking about, you know, like how they got into it, like how they find their voice, changing from role to role.
How Cecil's voice can just be so goddamn dulcet.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That man is awesome, and I really enjoy him as a person. And just listening to them talk about, like, you know, the voice acting side of it, you know, again, mostly audio drama side, because like no sleep and things like that. But one of the questions that got asked towards the end of it was a guy stood up and said, hey, I do an actual play podcast and I voice the NPCs and I have all these things. And he's like, any tips for someone who has to be able to switch characters on the fly? And like the entire panel was like, I don't know. That's not really the thing we do. Like they go into one character, they get into it for a whole story. They get really involved. And the side of it with like actual plays and being a DM, it's like, well, you literally have to be able to voice a complete character
at the moment the players decide that someone is interesting enough to talk to.
So you're saying that I shouldn't continue to flip you crap
for all dwarves sounding like this?
You know, I learned a couple things in that panel. I'm going to try making my process better for that.
Sounds pretty good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Right.
This is dwarf voice.
And that's okay, because when I have to voice 100 different characters over the course of a 10 episode series, you know, it's going to double up sometimes because I'm a man and I only have a certain number of voices in my head.
Well, that's perfectly all right, because every dwarf to Matt Mercer sounds sort of like this.
Right. And that's okay. So... yeah, that was the voice acting panel. It was really fun, really educational. I was actually really happy to be in that one.
Well, got a question from chat. Did you meet any fans of the show, like of our show?
Someone recognized us. Yep.
What?
Yeah. Well, one person recognized us. I went up to a booth and I was talking with a very nice lady who I have the card here.
As you dig through your pile, oh card. Yeah.
She is a podcast reviewer and she recognized our show.
What?
See, because of Henry Galley. Apparently Henry Galley, I'll have to find it here in a moment. But Henry Galley had mentioned us on Twitter because of the SGO stuff.
Yay.
and because we had him on the Digital Dice podcast.
Because Henry Galley is fucking hilarious,
yeah,
and weird and awesome.
Yeah. And I handed her one of the stickers and she goes, "Oh, yeah, I recognize this." And I'm like, "Oh my god, thank you for being the first person." And in exchange, I handed her the prototype 3D printed digital and dice coin that I had made, thanks to Sir Jeffers doing some work on that.
Just like she'd made it 90 days clean.
Right? And I handed that to her. I'm like, hey, you get this because you're the first person to actually recognize us. Because we went there expecting no one to know who we are.
That's, you know? I'm not to say that we're still very small or anything like that. Because I still consider us fairly small.
Yeah, I mean,
small potatoes.
We're not a big show.
I think that's a very realistic expectation to go in when you're seeing, like, Welcome to Night Vale as part of the reason this entire thing exists.
Yeah. So the fact that someone recognized us was, like, a highlight of that day. It was super thrilling, and that made, you know, it made me feel like I'm at least reaching some people out there, you know? And the fact that the community itself of podcasters and podcast fans, is, you know, there is a lot of bleed over, you know, just because someone's a fan of one show doesn't mean they can't be a fan of other shows. So there's not this competition of, oh, you're taking my viewers, or, oh, every download that you get is a download I'm not getting. Because, man, people listen to a lot of stuff.
What? You don't want to see, like, a gang fight between the Sirenscape fans and then, like, the
Tabletop
Role
Audio people?
Yeah, like, I think there just needs to be some sort of rumble. And then the audio of that can be put on the internet.
Yeah, it would have been definitely an interesting thing to see. But I think... overall, and to be perfectly honest, the next day on Sunday, there wasn't a whole lot happening that we were very involved with. But I did get to meet with a group from cavegoblin.com who is doing something very similar to how we're doing, which was they actually have started a podcast network up in Vancouver, BC. And they have basically pulled in a bunch of other podcasts and are kind of lumping them together under their network and having everyone work together, share ads, that kind of stuff. Got me thinking because I was able to talk to the guy who made the whole thing.
A dangerous pastime.
I know. And we were able to talk for a little while about some stuff and, you know, share ideas on how they do it and how, because I was planning on kind of doing the same basic thing. So there's a lot of information we got out of that. And that basically justified the entirety of Sunday for me. Picked up a couple pieces of swag. That was really fun. And then, you know, came home. That was legitimately the con. I never felt like I was having to run around to get somewhere before it started. I didn't feel pushed or rushed anywhere. I could basically sit and hang out and talk with people for as long as I wanted to, because there was, you know, sure there were panels.
wasn't like PAX, where you go to PAX to try to absorb as much as you physically can.
Yeah.
Before you finally pass out.
Mm-hmm. And there was a half hour between every panel.
Oh, nice.
So every panel slot. So you would go and you'd see a panel, and then you'd have a half hour to go like the 100 feet to wherever the next panel was going to be, or to go and see something before showing up at the next one, because they wouldn't fill up.
Admittedly, running from panel to panel at SakuraCon can be pretty exhausting.
Especially if you're in costume, yeah.
Well, I mean, not everyone goes to a convention wearing a costume where you need your own goddamn support crew.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah, well, that's fun for me. So, there were things I liked about the con, which is how laid back it was, how small it was, just for the ability to do a bunch of stuff there and see everything there was to see. Unfortunately, the downside was it was small enough that you could see everything there was to see in like a day. And then everything else was like, okay. And what I found out the second day was some of the tables were rented for a day at a time, okay. Which meant that there were, I think, 6 or 8 tables that on the second day were a different different podcast, because it was cheaper for them to get a table for the day rather than the whole weekend. So I showed up on the second day and got to run into some more shows and talk to a different creator. So I was like, oh, this is worthwhile. It gives me a reason to be there on the second day, aside from just, you know, meeting up with some people we just wanted to chat with.
Cool.
So overall, it was a good time. I'm hoping next year they are going to maybe lower the costs a little ways, because it was a very pricey convention, not only for a ticket, but the people who bought booths there, you know, they're dropping $400 to $700 for a table, whether you're doing a single or both days. Right.
Maybe we don't need a table.
Right. And for a podcast of our size, and honestly, some of the people who were there were like, yeah, we all had to chip in to afford this because of how expensive it was to have a table for a day, you know? So it's like, and the tickets were kind of expensive as well. Like if you got them through the Kickstarter, you know, a ticket was still like $100 for the weekend.
Okay.
And the fact that they had so much open room, it's like they could have doubled the amount of tables available, lowered the price on all the tables and possibly the tickets, and been fine. You know, and keeping in the same rooms, not even increasing the size of the con. They have the space. They just didn't use it.
Well, considering it is actually a convention, have you thought about like shooting off a suggestion to organizers?
If Reddit is anything to follow, people are already suggesting improvements.
Oh, good.
But again,
I mean, Reddit is a thing. So,
but this is also only the second year, you know, and admittedly, when this whole thing started, one of the guys who's in charge of it had a kid, like right then had a kid, and was like incommunicado for like the entire like preparatory stage of this, you know.
Great timing.
Which meant that there were actually some creators that bagged out and didn't show up, because they're like, hey, we have all this stuff that we need to know and no one is contacting us about it. Like Doug Grills, I think his name is, the guy who does Creepypod.
Okay.
He was going to be there, as you know, because he's a pretty big podcast himself. But he ended up being like, nah, no one's talking to me. I'm not showing up. I'm not going to be there if they're not going to communicate with me. And that was really sad, because we really wanted to talk to him too. So, yeah, there were great things about it. And I think to coin something from Justin, I'll say this on air just because it is a criticism, is the most interesting thing about the convention were all the other people there. The convention itself took second fiddle to the people who were there to enjoy it, which,
that's not the worst thing to happen.
Yeah. But talking about the people, and, you know, I'm going to go through these about as quickly as I can and just mention some of the people we talked to that were really cool. And I'm going to be including as many of their links in the show notes as I have room for. So as we go through, we'll have those by the end of the show here. And if you're listening to this on the RSS, all these links should be below. But I'm going to go through some of them real quick and just talk about how we talked with them. So Fairweather Friends, this is actually really fun. So there were people dressed in basically Ren clothes walking around, and they had a sign saying, ask me about my quests. I said, I am asking you about your quests. And they pull out a little slip of paper that had a quest on it. Mine was, show us a picture of a famous person at the convention. So I just pull out my phone. I'm like, here's me with Cecil Baldwin. I took an awkward selfie with him. And they're like, holy crap. So then they handed me a small bag of Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, delicious.
And then talked to me about their podcast, which is interviewing people who are involved with fairy festivals, Ren fairs, medieval fairs, things like that. And then Justin and I were like, is that so?
Frighteningly relevant to our interests.
So, and then we're like, oh yeah, we're also part of the SCA and we do June Fair. And they're like, oh yeah, June Fair. We're like, sweet. You know, so we have.
And they're like, dude. And you're like, sweet. And they're like, dude.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. They were very nice and we're hoping to see them at June Fair this year.
Hashtag dated reference.
Let's see. Full Metal Bazinga. This one had no interaction, just picked up the sticker. It looks like Sheldon's face, says Full Metal Bazinga on it. It's cool.
Aha!
Know nothing about them. Quest Friends. Quest Friends is an actual play podcast. Great thing about them is they gave out kazoos at their at their spot.
I love them already.
Yes. I guess they're doing the Numenera system. So it's like a billion years in the future, but like magic is back and like technology is lost and all this stuff. Comedy podcast, very, very nice people. Highly recommend. So, you know, absolutely check them out. Let's see what else we got here. We got a podcast enthusiast sticker. Cool, that just came in the bag. Folk Art Flowers. Ah, yes. Not a podcast, weirdly enough. Also, welcome to the chat, 2 Plus Tough. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, hey, wow. Yeah, you're here. You're awesome.
Okay, Brian, yes. Do your fan.
I mean, like, yeah, literally, yeah. I love your lore videos.
Yeah. Doug, you're awesome. Thank you. I sat next to this lady at dinner. She was a fan of the McElroys. She does. She grows her own flowers. She has a flower garden in Seattle, and she does flowers for events. So I got her card so we could do that.
That's fun.
That'd be fun. Let's see. I love podcast enthusiast. Rolling Misadventures. They had their... they gave me this wonderful spiel with one of the hosts doing this kind of Vanna White, like jazz hands at the guy who was explaining the whole thing. Another... great actual play podcast. So another one that is totally worth out there. So again, Rolling Misadventures. Let's see. Fall of the House of Sunshine, which is a pod musical. It's kind of an actual play thing where they do music in every episode. I got to talk to them for a few minutes. It was really, really entertaining.
Adding very that people. To my list.
Let's see. Mouth Crimes. I don't know what they are, but they have a six-sided dice in a pair of lips. So, I mean, that's good there. Let's see, Left Trigger, Right Trigger, gaming channel. Actually, a bunch of really cool guys. They did a hold a card up to your head and they have you guess what the card was at their booth. There was like 5 guys and it very much reminded me of how we started doing a lot of Let's Play content, talking about games.
Okay, cool.
A little bit more video game oriented, but I really do like their sticker. It's kind of a Donkey Kong-esque thing.
Oh, yeah.
So a bunch of really great guys. Definitely check them out. Let's see, another Quest Friends. Let's see, Tabletop Squadron. Easily the best business card I saw at the convention. It's got embossed gold on it. It is nice. A Star Wars actual
look play. At that emboss.
Yeah, if you're here watching the live show, you can kind of check
my
that out.
My God, cool. It's got a watermark.
It really does. TabletopSquadron.com or Tabletop_Squad on Twitter and Instagram. Definitely check them out. If you're into Star Wars, into actual plays, do that. The Diarist, a serialized fiction podcast. Talk to the lady who created this at an audio drama meetup. Very nice lady. It's kind of a cool, like... it's all kind of from the point of view of this lady doing her own diary. It was very, very nice lady. Very interesting to talk to her about like voice acting and how she kind of got started doing like almost a monologue style show with additional voice acting. So if you're into audio drama, The Diarist.
Cool.
Let's see, what do we got? The End of Time and Other Bothers. So this one is, if I remember correctly, kind of another fantasy role-playing kind of end of days style thing, like modern day, but the world is ending, almost like a Good Omen style role-playing game. So that one seems like a lot of fun. And again, I'm going to go ahead and say this real quick here in the middle. I spend so much time working on my own stuff that I have so little time to go and view all these things, which is why I'm trying to do my part in letting you all know that these exist, because I got 5 shows, you know, I'm doing all these things. The things I choose to spend my time listening to or watching are very specific.
And so, we're sort of lazy around here and make him do most of the work.
There is that as well. So, you know, if I'm a fan of yours, it means that you have found yourself into one of these small time slots I have available to actually ingest content rather than create it. So, you know, keep that in mind out there. The Sometimes Geek podcast. I actually don't know anything about them, but they have a game controller. So, you know,
that's lovely.
I like their sticker.
I like it.
Let's see. This is an advertisement for Shortwave. We're not going to do that one. This is Podcast Friend, which is just another sticker. A Load of BS, which was a load of, I believe it was Brandon and Sam or something like that. They basically talk about movies, which is kind of, they have a, their sticker is a modified Jurassic Park logo. So, I mean, I approve of that.
I dig it. It looks like a dude drinking a beer in front of a microphone.
Yep. Which we just approve of in general.
Just generally speaking, that's like appeals to me on a deep personal level.
It really does. The Once and Future Nerd. I like their logo. And yet again, we're talking another very nerdy podcast. And you know what? We are friends of anybody who likes the same stuff.
And if you like the Once and Future King, then you're a good person.
Yes, indeed. Also, let's see. What do we got? Okay, we got a few more minutes. Let me go ahead and power through the rest of these. We got the Oh No Lit Class podcast, ruining required reading one book at a time. So they're basically going through and talking about all the books that you were required to read in high school and college and giving them a good once over in a very humorous way. Very nice people. Again, this one I would actually definitely recommend taking a look at. It's at Oh No Lit Class Pod on Twitter. So check them out. Really funny people. There is the Kane and Fields Paranormal Investigators. This is by a wonderful British man who I ran into after the audio drama meetup, who is an amazing audio editor, has worked on a lot of different shows, very professional, had his own actual business card, the amazing audio wizard, Oliver Morris. Really great guy, very funny guy. And that one's a paranormal investigator type thing where they go out and they find all the things that go bump in the night and solve the problems with their fists. So, you know, whether you're a fan of, say, Penny Arcade's On the Rain Slick Precipice of Darkness, or you just like punching monsters, definitely check out the that podcast there. Which I hold on, what was that? Kane and Fields Paranormal Investigators. Yes, check that one out. Let's see, this is a duplicate sticker. This is an ad for Backblaze. This is the Full Metal Bazinga. I actually got a card signed by them, so, you know, there's that. Cool. They're the same people who do the Once and Future Nerd, so they're actually the same group.
Oh, neat.
So left trigger, right trigger, and I got a card signed by one of their dudes there. Let's see, this is our sticker, so I'm not going to talk about us. That's another one of those. That's another duplicate. What do we got here? Critical Research. Oh, this one's about Liberty. Yes, Liberty is an audio drama made by the same people who do The White Vault, also a comic series about said podcast, and it's really cool. The people who do The White Vault and Liberty are also real life friends of our bud Clay over at Terminally Nerdy.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually told me to go talk to him while I was at the convention. So we kind of went over and chatted for a few. So, you know, shout out not only to the guys over at White Vault, but also out to Terminally Nerdy for connecting me over there. That was really cool.
Yeah.
We got Fun Fiction, which I approve of, if only because the character, it has a. Some altered versions of the Gravity Falls kids and basically the same kind of font and everything.
Oh,
but
fun.
They write fan fiction. They get together and write fan fiction about a topic, and they try to basically make up stories about whatever the topic is of that particular week. So
sounds like strange happenings.
Sounds like something we might do a literal torture on, you know.
At some God. Point. Oh,
that
God.
Would be an interesting crossover. There's also And That's Why We Drink, which is a paranormal and true crime podcast. So they're very much in the idea of, hey, this is some cool, weird stuff out there, and talking about the creepiness of it in a very humorous fashion.
I hope you know that I'm like stealing half of these stickers.
That's understandable. Actually, our desk is going to be covered in podcast stickers because we do that at work. With different like piercing parlors, we get their stickers in. So I'm going to do the same thing here, except it's going to be all podcast stickers.
And also, this is another title that just appeals to me in life.
Absolutely. There's also the Reckless Play Guild, which is part of they are actually, again, I think this is the group that White Vault and the other people do. But this is their group for actual play stuff, which includes Dungeons and Dragons. I actually saw their tiny little logo on the shield of their sticker. I was like, ha ha, I know them, you know, because I like their stuff. And also Dark Dice. And there's actually a Facebook group. I'm going to have to join up with them later. This is another Liberty sticker. Tales from the Tower. It's another Liberty sticker. I think that does it. Although a brief shout out to Marsfall for being there. They were awesome. Very friendly. They're, I believe, in their second or starting their third season, which is kind of a horror survival on Mars type podcast.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. I know this episode is a little bit different than what we normally go into, but I did talk to so many great creators there at PodCon that I wanted to take the moment out, share the airwaves and say, hey, these are really cool people, had a lot of fun talking with them, and we want to use what little influence we do have to spread that word and say, hey, these are cool people making cool things that deserve attention, whether they're a big show that's already self-sufficient and or whether they're just a couple people getting together in their basement to record a show. You know, podcasting and content creation is it's this big community that needs to stick together and make it better for everyone rather than this big cutthroat thing where we're all just clamoring for views and downloads.
We're not YouTube.
And even then,
I mean, we also are YouTube. We're
also YouTube, but it's the same thing on YouTube. You know, we want to meet up with other creators and be collaborative and spread the word because, you know, that's what we're here for. We're here to make the gaming scene and the podcast scene as cool as it can be.
So, yeah.
You know, so shout out to every single one of you out there that I talked to. If I missed you, if for whatever reason I lost your card or I didn't mention you, you know, I'll see what I can do about adding you into the show notes. But all those together made PodCon 2 pretty much a really great con for us. So we'll try to be there next year and hopefully we can meet up and talk with some of you in the interim, maybe do some cool crossovers, collaborations. We think it'd be really cool. But, you know, I think I've talked literally enough about that for the next little while. So why don't we move on to... What do we call it? What are we calling it now?
Our letterbin, dice sack, mail pile, or our donk.
Let's check our donk.
Let's see what's in the donk.
Which is an in-joke that that has spread from various places that I'm just gonna
No.
Third donk.
And this is an answer to show number 172. What is your favorite undead creature?
Yes, indeed. First off, our response from Habidacus says, I'm going to cheat a little here and say ghoul, but not the mindless necromantic D&D ghoul, but rather the devastatingly educated and erudite ghouls of the Lovecraft mythos, aka Pikmin's model.
Ooh.
I've had a couple of campaigns where the players were helped out by an educated, driven individual that acted through cutouts, dead drops, or similarly masked off, only to reveal at a later date the true nature of the player's benefactor. I prefer them to the lich or the vampire because their power comes purely through their access to knowledge rather than some more mechanistic stats. It creates a much more moral quandary for the players when they come face to face with the ghoul.
Nice.
Oh, yes. And we will call it the dice bag if that makes you feel better. You know, if calling it our donk is just a little weird, you know, let us know in the comments.
Also, you know, donk.
Donk.
Donk. Grim Ace. You know what? I have another answer for this question as a DM instead of a player. The Crawling Claw. I'd love to have one of these be encountered by a player and see what they do, or go evil dead and curse a player and have them cut off their hand, the hand
to make them fight the claw. Yeah,
it would be silly, and I like that. It's a good answer. I like that. It's fun.
Apropos of nothing, having a player have their hand cut off during a game is always entertaining and makes for good storytelling.
I think I ran a game where you used a crawling claw as a familiar.
I did, yes. We also, for those of you who haven't made it through much of Hazardous Endeavors towards the end of season one, something happens.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was acid. it's not Nessa. Nothing about that is Nessa.
Moving on. McKeef 30 says, my favorite undead creature is the Death Tyrant. I mostly love it because they dream themselves into existence. Again, the Death Tyrant is the undead form of a beholder. So... Think of that, by the way. Think about the idea of being so full of yourself and so sure of your own existence as the top of every food chain and the most perfect being that you're able to, your ego raises you from the dead.
That's only because you drained yourself to death in the first place.
And?
They're crazy.
They are.
They are like.
Yeah.
Like. Crazy.
Yeah, yeah, they are definitely a few crayons short of a box.
And from Dammit,
Jerry Butler's Dracula from the exceedingly awful Dracula 2000. Yummy.
Yeah, that...
Well, I mean, that is a very good-looking Dracula. And also, there was the vampire Jerry Ryan in that movie. So, honestly, I'd say that counts pretty well.
Yeah, I approve. That's fine. So thank you all for your responses to last episode's question. As per always, we're going to ask it another one. But remember, you can go back and answer any of the questions we've asked on any of our shows. And we will read your responses out on the next show after we've gotten your response. So feel free to answer as many of them as you'd like. We've even done some lightning rounds with people answering 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 questions.
Go back in time. Find the questions that we've asked that you just have to answer. And then they answer them. And we'll be like, oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah. And kind of in line talking about not only PodCon, but all the cool stuff that's not coming out and the things that are going to be an improvement here in the future, it kind of goes in line with that. So our question of the episode goes a little something like this.
What are you looking forward to the most in 2019?
Yep. So we want to know whether it be a show that's coming out, a game that you want to play, whatever it is, if there's something in 2019 that you're interested in, we want to know what it is, because being excited for the future is, part of, again, being a huge nerd. So I'm going to go ahead and start this off.
Okay, yeah.
So I learned a lot at PodCon about not only being a show creator, but also as a podcaster, as a fan, and there's a lot of things that I want to incorporate into not only our shows as they stand, but also future shows and ways of working alongside other creators. So what I'm wanting to do for 2019, what I'm most looking forward to, are some of the collaborations that we're trying to line up. Talking with voice actors from No Sleep, talking with other creators on YouTube, bloggers, comic artists. Just at the end of 2018, we were able to add in, the Kobold, Necro Girl and Kobold Friend comic on our website, which has a new banner at the top, which was drawn for that. So that's cool. But having some more bloggers, including some ads of other shows, having our ads on their shows, working together to grow all of our audiences and spread the word of all of our great stuff. That is my thing for 2019. I want to see the content that we're making and the content of all of our friends just shoot up. I want to see everything go viral. That's what I want to see.
That is super touchy feely and communist. I mean, but in a good way, to be fair.
Right. I mean, more socialist maybe.
Well, I mean, you're being both social and you're talking about your community.
Right.
So, why not?
And that's
sure. I personally am a lot more selfish. Two things I'm looking forward to in 2019. I'm really looking forward to our 40K narrative campaign kicking off.
Mm-hmm.
I want to grind the followers of the false emperor to dust.
Yeah.
Like the windswept dust of long lost Prospero. Also, I'm really looking forward to this upcoming tourney season in the SEA. I'm going to get my ass kicked.
Yeah.
Like, pretty consistently, but God, it's gonna be fun.
I mean, I'm gonna be interested to see you get your ass kicked. So there's that.
It's true. You're coming up to spend the day just watching me get my ass kicked
entirely
Saturday.
Yeah. So yeah, lot of cool stuff coming out. Response there in the chat looks like McKeef30 says looking more forward to more digital and dice. Thank you.
Yeah.
We will be here and we will try to do it. As Lily attempted to answer every question of 2018, do it.
I dare you.
We will literally do that. It'll be great. Also, Lily responds saying, "I'm looking forward to 40K, Kingdom Hearts 3 in 6 days.
Oh yeah.
And the Outer Worlds. Yeah. A lot of really good games coming out. I'm actually pretty excited to see those as well.
We've got Hybrid Divide. I look forward to less procrastinating and getting some Prohex done later in the year.
Yeah. There's a lot of really cool stuff happening, man. And you know what? We're all buried neck deep in stuff, but it doesn't mean we can't hang out and do stuff together, too.
All of the stuff. Every stuff.
I have one job.
Quantum stuff.
So yes, definitely that question of the episode we love to ask once again is, what are you looking forward to the most in 2019? Yes, indeed. And as we end out our show, we're going to go ahead and do some shout outs here. So starting off with our wonderful patrons.
We love you so much.
Yes, indeed. So thank you to Astonishing Legends.
Golden Bolt.
Desmond.
Hi, Desmond.
Patrick M.
Botigo.
Square Bear 23. Chubby Wildcat.
Odd Shaped Channel.
McMind Flare.
And Retail. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys for being patrons.
You're awesome.
Yeah. And if you want to be one of our patrons, you want to get involved with the cool things we do behind the scenes, like the patron-only Dungeons & Dragons game I'm going to be running once a month. $1 a month is all it takes to jump on board. You get to be in our patron chat, and you get to kind of hear some of the stuff that's happening behind the scenes. And sometimes I'll post things in there before anybody else gets to see it. So, you know, that'll be... That's a really cool way of getting involved there.
And hey, brother, do you know that we put our podcast onto the internet? Our RSS host is pippa.io.
Is that true?
It is. We use pippa.io for RSS feed.
And really, if you've got a podcast, especially, you know, if all these wonderful people.
What's you fucking wrong with that, man?
I couldn't keep it up. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm
cool.
Sorry.
Brian is a Goron, yes.
The boulder.
That explains the expansion here.
I'm just putting on my Goron weight.
We can see if he's fireproof.
No. We use Pippa.io to host our podcasts, all of our podcasts, and they are fantastic.
Yes.
They're really easy to work with, and they've got great customer service.
They really do. We highly recommend. You got a project you want to put on the internet, on iTunes, on any of those other podcast hosts, man, Pippa.io will handle everything for you. So
they got you.
Definitely check them out. And if you're interested, let us know. We have a referral link. We can send you over.
Oh, yeah.
But we want to go ahead and thank you, dear Digidicers, for joining us this week. You can keep in touch with us at our website and our various social networking sites.
You can reach us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/digitalanddice.
You can join in the conversation on our Discord channel by clicking on the link in the show notes.
For email and just email, you can find us at digitalanddice@gmail.com.
The wailing, ghostly scream of Google Plus in the background. You can follow @DigitalAndDice on Twitter.
Tweet, tweet. And please donate to your favorite podcast on the internet.
Which, or us.
Or us. Or both, really. Yeah, if you can, if you can afford that, that'd be great. Going to patreon.com/DigitalAndDice.
Yes, that's indeed. Patreon.com/DigitalAndDice. You had it right in one. Congratulations, Brian. You've finally seen the light.
Patreon.com.
And don't forget, you can check us out at our website, www.digitalanddice.com. Catch up with our YouTube and Twitch channels. See all the most recent uploads of everything, as well as not only Draconic's Den as the RPG blog we host there.
And Kobold Necro.
Necro Girl and Kobold Friend. Absolutely.
Yes.
So yeah, more stuff coming soon. Definitely keep an eye on the website.
I'm on spot.
You are on spot.
And please, if you have a moment, take a moment to leave a review on iTunes or wherever you found us on the internet.
Yes.
It really does help us a lot.
Reviews are great and we really appreciate them. And I'll announce now, I'm planning on doing some sort of review competition thing. And anyone who leaves a review is going to be in the entry to win something that I got going on.
Leave us a silly review. Write us a ridiculous.
I'll start that now. I'll announce it fully later, but there is going to be a thing where we have a cool little thing I want to print out that is a Digital and Dice thing that I want to give out to the people who leave reviews for us as kind of a contest. So stay tuned for more information on that. But for right now, we're going to leave you with Chrono Trigger Save the Future by Storm Scuggan to keep you entertained until next week when we return with more news, rants, opinions, and general internet loots.
But never fear, brother!
Brother,
we shall return.
And until then,
game on, internet.